This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
It didn't have to happen, and that's what makes this case so unbearable. Baby Emmanuel Haro should still be here. He should be laughing, learning to crawl, grabbing at his dad's beard, tasting solid food for the first time. But instead of baby photos, there's a courtroom. And instead of milestones, there's a grave we'll never find, because the man who took Emmanuel's life didn't come out of nowhere. Jake Haro was a known danger, a convicted child abuser who'd already destroyed one baby before the system handed him another. Let's rewind. In 2018, doctors in California's Inland Empire treated a tiny girl who'd been beaten nearly to death. She had skull fractures, brain hemorrhages, broken ribs, and catastrophic brain damage. Her father, Jake Haro, who we're just going to affectionately name Monster on our graphic behind us, admitted to losing control. That's a polite phrase people use when they can't handle words. He tortured his infant. The little girl survived, but she'll never walk, never talk, never feed herself again. Her life ended in everything but a heartbeat. And somehow, the court still decided Jake deserved another chance. A judge looked at a man who put a baby in a wheelchair and thought, maybe he can change. And that decision killed another child. Fast forward to 2025. Jake and his new wife, Rebecca, have a baby boy named Emmanuel. He's 7 months old. On paper, they look like a recovering family. A dad trying to start fresh. A mom who believes people can change. A child welfare system that loves the redemption arc. Then one summer evening, Rebecca calls police with a story straight out of a Lifetime movie. She says she was attacked in a parking lot while changing Emmanuel's diaper. She claims she was knocked unconscious, and when she woke up, her baby was gone. An Amber Alert goes out. Police dogs search the fields. Helicopters circle overhead. Volunteers join the hunt. Cameras capture Jake Haro, tear-streaked, pleading for his son's return. The public feels for him. Who wouldn't? A father begging for his missing baby. But behind the tears was a man who'd already done this once before. And within days, investigators realize the story doesn't add up. The injuries on Rebecca don't match her tale. Surveillance footage doesn't show an attack. Witnesses saw nothing. And then a cell phone data, you know, that pesky cell phone data, the search histories, the inconsistencies, it all begins to collapse. And on August 22nd, 2025, police arrest both Jake and Rebecca Haro at their home. What started as a kidnapping investigation then turns into a pesky murder case. Prosecutors say Emmanuel had been abused not once, not twice, but over time. A pattern. Bruises that told a story. No baby can speak. They found no body, but the evidence of what Jake had done and who he already was enough. Now let's pause there, because this is where the system could have stopped him years ago. In 2018, Jake Haro's first conviction should have been the end of his parental rights. But instead, we saw the same tired playbook we always see with violent offenders. Anger management, some therapy, supervised release. The bureaucracy checked its boxes. It filed its forms and told itself the story of rehabilitation. You can almost hear the language of the sentencing hearing, the lawyer's plea for leniency, the judge's talk of second chances, the probation department's talk of monitoring compliance, and then the file gets closed, and no one follows up when the same man starts another family. This is what we call reform in America. We measure compassion by how much risk we're willing to dump on innocent people. If you beat your baby half to death, apparently you still qualify for fatherhood later, because denying you that would be punitive. And we've reached the point where protecting children is considered mean. Why would you want to protect your kids? As a result, a seven-month-old is dead, another child catastrophically injured, and a man who's finally going to prison, but only after the damage is completely irreversible. This is not an isolated oversight. It is a culture of denial baked into every layer of the system. Probation departments are drowning in caseloads. Child Protective Services is chronically understaffed. Judges fear being too harsh, and every one of them wants to believe they're part of a system that redeems, not condemns. But some people can't be redeemed. Some crimes announce exactly who the person is. And when that crime involves the deliberate destruction of a baby, we don't need to wait for a sequel to find out if he'll do it again. Yet here we are. What's worse, the state already knew what he was. The DA in Emmanuel's case said it clearly. If the judge had done his job back then, Emmanuel would be alive today. Think about that. A baby is dead because an adult with a robe and a gavel thought redemption looked good on paper. In reality, Emmanuel wouldn't exist today if the judge had done his job back then. Wouldn't have to have endured 7 months on this hellscape that we call Earth and America and have to endure parents like this, because Jake would have been away. Not able to stick his thing into another thing and create a soul that would be tortured for its 7 months of existence. But that's not how our system works, and that's not what the judge decided to do. We talk about cycles of abuse. That phrase usually means victims repeating trauma. Jake Haro is the other kind, the predator who repeats destruction. His cycle isn't born of trauma, it's born of opportunity, and the state gave him that opportunity again and again. So now we have a father who's done the unthinkable twice, and a court that wants credit for finally locking him up, 30 years minimum. But what does 30 years even mean to the two children he destroyed? His daughter will live another half century trapped in a body that doesn't work. Emmanuel will never live at all. You can't rehabilitate from that. You can only prevent it. And that's the point. This wasn't unpredictable. It was entirely preventable. It's not like Jake was some hidden monster with no record. The paperwork was right there. Medical reports, police files, victim impact statements. Every warning flag was already raised. The only thing missing was the will to act on it. That's what makes this case a moral indictment of the entire system. Not just Jake Haro's evil, but the government's apathy. The judge who gave him probation. The probation officer who let the case slide. The agencies that didn't share information. The neighbors who wanted to stay out of it. They all contribute to Emmanuel's death in their own way. Through silence, through softness, through a refusal to confront the truth about what some people are capable of. We like to think that evil is rare, that it's confined to the monsters we see in movies, but evil is ordinary. It's Jake Haro changing diapers and posting family photos while carrying the same hands that crushed his daughter's skull. And the system, desperate to believe in restoration, looked the other way. That's the part that should keep every lawmaker up at night, because this isn't just one judge's bad call. It's a blueprint. We're running a national experiment in blind compassion, and the control group is dead children. When you put offenders' feelings above victim safety, you get Jake Haro. When you prioritize rehabilitation over restriction, you get more graves. When you romanticize redemption, you become an accessory to reoccurrence. And here's the thing. These judges and policymakers never have to face the consequences. They don't have to look into the eyes of that paralyzed little girl. They don't have to watch a mother pick out a casket the size of a laundry basket. They just move on to the next docket, because in this country, accountability stops the moment you wear a robe or hold a title. Meanwhile, the rest of us are supposed to keep pretending this is justice. Works great. We're supposed to nod when a court says he's getting 30 years. We're supposed to call that closure. But 30 years isn't closure. It's a delayed acknowledgement that the system failed to do its job when it mattered. And Emmanuel's story isn't a one-off. Across the U.S., thousands of children have died at the hands of parents who were already known to the system. The warning signs were always there, documented, filed, and ignored. And every time, the aftermath looks the same. Officials hold a press conference, promise to review procedures, and move on. Nothing changes because accountability in child protection cases is like fog, visible, but intangible. Jake Haro didn't just kill his son. He exposed a culture of bureaucratic indifference that treats child abuse like an unfortunate paperwork problem. It's not enough to jail the monster. We have to confront the ecosystem that built him. And that starts with laws that actually mean something. If you're convicted of violently abusing a child, you should lose the right to parent. Permanently. If you cause permanent injury to an infant, you should never be free without oversight. If you fake a kidnapping to cover up a murder, you should never walk among children again or society as a whole. But even those reforms don't fix the deeper rot, a justice system that's more interested in rehabilitation statistics than real-world safety. Because let's be honest, the reason Jake Haro got leniency wasn't oversight, it was optimism. Judges and social workers are trained to see the potential for change. They're rewarded for success stories, not for preventing disasters. They don't want to believe in monsters, and that denial gets people killed. You can quote all the psychological studies you want. Most offenders can be rehabilitated, although good luck finding one of those. Violence declines with age, sure. Maybe with thieves, drug users, even some domestic abusers, but not with people who break babies. That's not a momentary lapse. That's an identity. And when we refuse to admit that we create a pipeline where abusers graduate from probation to parenting, from therapy to tragedy, look at Jake Haro's timeline. 2018, beats his infant daughter nearly to death. 2020, release, supervise. 2023, remarries. 2025, kills his son. That's not coincidence. That's policy in action. And it raises a question no one wants to ask. Who's responsible for making sure that a man like this can't reproduce, can't access children, and can't hide behind family rights? Because right now, the answer is no one. We track sex offenders for life, but not violent child abusers who aren't convicted of sexual crimes. We have databases for financial fraud, but not for parents who've crushed skulls. There's no registry that would have flagged Jake Haro as a danger when he started a new family, no mandatory background checks for domestic partners, no coordination between counties. So the system shrugged and another baby died. It's a tragedy built on predictability. And when you strip away the legal jargon, what's left is something chillingly simple. A man who learned that the system doesn't mean what it says. Because when you hand out mercy to a monster, what you're really doing is teaching him that he can get away with it again. That's not rehabilitation, that's training. And Jake Haro learned the lesson perfectly. So what do we do now? We'll wring our hands, hold vigils, pass symbolic resolutions, and tell ourselves we care. But unless something changes in how we treat repeat child abusers, this will happen again and again and again. Until someone finally says enough and actually means it. Because let's be clear, this isn't about politics. It's about the value of a child's life. We can debate sentencing reform all day. But if reform means releasing proven predators to start new families, then it's not reform. It's negligence dressed up as compassion. This is where morality has to trump ideology. You can't restore someone who takes pleasure in breaking the helpless. You can't rehabilitate someone who only feels remorse when the cameras roll. You can only contain them. Jake Haro's tears during his fake kidnapping plea weren't repentance, they were performance. The same kind of manipulation he used on the system for years, and the system, desperate to believe in redemption, fell for it. That's the real crime here. The state's willingness to be conned. Because every day we excuse evil under the banner of empathy. We make room for the next Emmanuel. The next baby who'll never learn to walk. The next mother who'll fake a story to cover her shame. The next courtroom where a judge will say, "We couldn't have known." But we could have known. We did know. We just didn't act. So yes, Jake Haro is going to prison and good riddance. But that's not justice. Justice would have been never giving him the opportunity in the first place. Because the real monsters in stories like this don't just live behind bars. Some of them sit behind benches. Some of them file case notes. Some of them draft laws with loopholes. You could drive a hearse through. If you want to honor Emmanuel Haro, don't light a candle. Light a fire under the institutions that failed him. No more probation for child torturers. No more parental reunification with abusers. No more judicial leniency for crimes that permanently maim children. You don't rehabilitate someone who destroys the defenseless. You remove them from society permanently. Because mercy for monsters is cruelty to children. And until we understand that, this cycle will keep spinning, fueled by paperwork, polished excuses, and the belief that compassion means never saying enough. Baby Emmanuel never got a second chance. His father did. And that's all you need to know about what's broken here. Give me your thoughts. YouTube comment section. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If you're not already there, if you're listening to us on the podcast platforms, thank you. Please do hit subscribe, but also do check us out there on YouTube. We'd love to get your thoughts. It's one of those cases that just pisses you off so freaking much. Because it was so freaking preventable. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.